Random thought. Did Chris Rock get his slap back with a selective outrage?
I'm going to have to lean towards yes on that one.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 124. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review.
So it was a first, as Netflix is trying to change the game, right, with a live stand-up special. And now, I didn't see this live. You got to see it live. I did get to hear it. And of course, they cut out the pre-show and the post-show in the replay. But when you watched it, because you look at the comments on social media, they're all over the place. But did Chris Rock get his slap back with this Netflix special, Selective Outrage?
Well, I think he did. And I think for the first time, and not maybe not the first time, because I know he's been having a lot of stand-up kind of in local areas, just wasn't as broad of an audience. But right. This is our first time really hear what he had to say about it. Mm-hmm. And he did a good job because everybody, that's all we wanted. You know, we of course, other stuff he's going to say is funny, but I think everybody that tuned in is just waiting for him to comment about the Will Smith, Jada Pinkett, and the slap. So he did a bit of a buildup and saved it for the last 10 minutes.
Of course.
And I thought it was gold. I thought it was gold. You know, he had some valid things that he said. And again, it's a comedy show. So I think if people are listening to that as if this is just testimony, it's not. He's just making fun of it. But he took it like a champ. He still admitted, hey, I can't beat Will Smith. Will Smith's freaking huge. You know, but I loved his comment about, you know, I didn't have an entanglement. What are you mad at me for? You didn't get mad about that. And he was like, I wouldn't even normally talk about this, but these two crazy MFs did this, had this interview and in front of a whole bunch of people and put it on TV. He says, we've all been cheated on, but you've never been interviewed by the person who cheated on you. Said, I used to go down on him all the time. How'd that make you feel?
You know, it's the interesting thing about it too is of course he's going to put it at the end of it, right? Because if that's what most people are waiting for, yeah, that's what you do. If that's your build-up moment, your mic drop moment at the end, then you've got to do that. That's why he wouldn't talk about it anywhere else. And I understood why he wasn't going to talk about it anywhere else. That's why he would talk about it on the road at his shows, make people come to the shows. And then now for Netflix pays for this, so he's able to capitalize on this. The feedback on it that was kind of everywhere. I mean, again, how much did you like it? Because, yeah, you got what you wanted out of it in that final 10 minutes. But what did you think as a whole of the special?
As a whole, I thought it was good. Now, I will say the part I didn't like, could have did without the whole pre-show. Mm-hmm. Because it was just extra fluff that, to me, didn't add value.
Right.
And they did the pre-show at the Comedy Store in L.A. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the live show of... And the pre-show was live. And then they went to the deal with Chris in Baltimore.
Right.
I said, we didn't need any of that part. And then the post-show, okay, I could have did without that too. I mean, that was, there were some funny things in there. I think Arsenio Hall, J.B. Smoove was on fire on the post-show. Were you just like, dude, are you drunk? He was funny.
I'll say, you know what? I'm glad I then caught it, listened to what you say about the pre and post show. I'm glad I watched the replay, because the replay cut that crap out. Like, just chop the front and back off. Give me the meat. Let's go. You know what I mean? So, you know, I thought it was, in terms of Chris Rock, I see a lot of people like, 40 minutes in, I'm not even laughing. Boring. And I'm like, yo, these are the same people who watch Game of Thrones, saw the Red Wedding and were like, okay, how many people are going to die every episode? Like, hey, you still got to build a story up. You know, the reason why that was so good was because of the buildup to it, right? And even like, as I saw some comments like, oh, I fell asleep watching it. Did he ever talk about Will Smith? Yes, in the last 10 minutes. Of course. Because you're not going to, you don't blow your load at the beginning. That's how you get talked about and you get a BDR. you gotta put in some work first.
Yeah, I mean, I thought some of the stuff he said was funny, but just like any comedian, there was some stuff I was just like, didn't do anything for me. But the overall performance, and keep in mind, this was live. And to be able to do it live, I'm sure is tough. And he only had one stumble on a joke around concussion. But other than that, I mean, I felt it flowed. The Meghan Markle jokes, I thought were good. And he does what Chris Rock does, where he rode that line on the abortion jokes. It just a different perspective. I thought he did a great job with it. Everybody's not going to like it. Totally get that. But for me, I was like, yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. I had some good chuckles out of it. And like, when's the last time you saw a comedian that from start to end, you couldn't stop laughing, you were in tears? I can't remember the last time that, and you weren't high. There's that. I can't remember the last time I did that.
Well, I've never watched a comedy show high, so that's any time that I've watched one and laughed from beginning to end. And that would be it's so crazy because it's one of my favorite specials, and I still don't know the name of it. But it's the Chris Rock is after Bigger and Blacker, and before the one he did in three different countries. But for life of me, I could never remember the name of it. The one where it was dealing with Kobe Bryant and all that stuff. And who taught you Octagon? You know?
So you laughed from beginning to end. There was not one thing he said where you were just like, okay. You know, I just don't expect that from a comedian. I don't expect to be, you know, stomach busting laughing every word that comes out of their mouth.
I mean, obviously not every word. Hi. No, of course not. Stop it. Stop it.
But again, there are people who are not going to like it. There are people who loved it.
Listen, now you're having selective outrage. Yeah.
People are going to be that way. There's nothing you can do about that.
Selective laughter.
Yeah. Nothing you can do about that. But overall, I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is one of those where Will Smith and Jada, just leave it alone.
So okay, you agree with him?
Stop.
Will Smith had selective outrage.
Yeah. I do, because when the whole thing happened, I'm like, okay, why are you so mad? And we even joked about it on the podcast. Like, you didn't get this mad with Augustine.
Right.
You know, and regardless of what y'all do in y'all's relationship and all that, be mad about that. And then you took your dumb ass onto the red the red table and let her make you look stupid in front of millions of people. And we all could tell you were hurt by it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, that's on y'all. You know, you put it out there, people are going to make fun of it. You can't get mad about that. So Will and Jada just need, now let's just leave it. Will and Jada don't need to respond. Chris has said what he had to say. Now let's all move on and move away from the slap.
And yeah, he was definitely making, you can see the buildup as he was going through, right? Some of the jokes were telegraphed, right? Even when he was like, you know, don't want to make another rapper upset, you know.
Right.
You saw the buildup, but he did the Snoop Dogg and then, oh, let me move on from there. Oh, Jay-Z, and you're right. One flub. I thought it was a good special to be live, but then again, he's had time to practice this, right? And the difference is, it's only if you think about when they're doing these specials, how much editing really goes into play from the taping. They probably cut a couple jokes out, so this was maybe a little longer than a normal special would be, because usually specials are what, 45 minutes to 45 to 50 minutes or so. This is about 55 minutes by the time it got done with the intro and everything else, and so it's like, okay. Good stuff. Chris Rock, I will say, it was definitely worth the wait. And he wanted to perfect it, get the message out the way he wanted. Test it out. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. Some people are saying it's too late. A whole year later, that's the problem. Y'all in this microwave society, stop it. That man took his time, which you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take your time.
And there were clips of him doing live stand-up since that happened where he's talked about the deal, but he's just working the material to get it out to say, this is how I want to do it on this large of a stage. Now, I highly recommend check out the post show because that's the challenge of doing it live. There were so many bits to where David Spade and Dana Carvey are two white people in the middle. And then you have J.B. Smoove, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I forget the sister's name that's a comedian, and Arsenio Hall. And there were certain jokes that JB and Arsenio were like trying to tee up. Mm-hmm. And it's like David and Dana couldn't speak on it. Cause they're like, I really can't say anything about that.
Good.
Because they're not black. Right. So that they knew that this would be a problem, but that's the thing about live. It's like, you can't just edit and be like, no, you can't ask it like this. You got to sit like this to tee me up. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny just to watch the uncomfortableness of David Spade and Dana Carvey and some stuff. So highly recommend. Check out the post show.
Okay, let me just say this. First of all, hopefully I don't, I can't find it anywhere. But the other thing is, you can't tell me we could have done without it and then say, but you need to check it out.
No, no, no. I said check it out because we were talking about how the show was live. That's what I'm talking about, is where you can tell the difference of having an edited show and putting it out compared to doing stuff live. Mm-hmm. And some of the challenges you have with live when a joke is set up where you're like, this could really go bad.
Right.
How do we get out of this? And David and Dana were just like, no, I got nothing.
We're going to set this one out.
Yeah. Yeah. So difference of a live show and a recorded show. I think that's the key to the post show.
If they really wanted that post show to be on fire, they'd put Louis C.K. on there, too.
Yeah, Netflix can't do that right now.
Why? They still got Louis C.K. specials up on Netflix.
I know. He's going to have to save a few schools or something before they let him fully back into the social graces.
Well, Deion Sanders, as we move to For the Love of Sports, is in Colorado with the Buffaloes. And, you know, he's bringing that Deion Coach Prime Sanders swag to sunny Colorado. Sunny with tons of snow, obviously, at this point. But changing the culture as he goes along, and one of the cultures he's trying to change is also band culture. Like, he's sitting down speaking with the band. And all right, so here's what we did when we have the team come out and doing the game. Here's how we get the fans into it. And some people are upset that he's even doing this.
Mm. You know, I understand what he's trying to do, but I disagree with what he's trying to do. I think you can't try to go to Colorado. You haven't played your first game yet. Mm-hmm. And try to get that band to even do a fraction of what Jackson State band can do. Jackson State goes out to find kids who can perform like this. They're not going to every little white school and going to the drummers. And it's like, hey, you look like you're really good at the drums. Have you seen our band? Can you play and dance at the same time? Show me what you got. Nope, no. Never mind. Great meeting you.
He didn't ask him to really change the whole halftime show.
No, what he's asking them to do is to have the band perform certain songs at certain times.
Okay.
That I think you're going to need more than a few months to get that band to be able to pull that off at Colorado. I think so. If you're trying to get it to be anything like
play
Jackson
these
State's
notes
band,
at this time, go.
No, my thing is what he should do, in my opinion, is leave the band alone. You've built your team, and then you and your son have a DJ up top plays certain things at home games for you. And that way you can have that. But you can't expect the band to all of a sudden incorporate a portion of HBCU culture in their band in a few months' time.
Okay.
At a predominantly white institution.
Yeah. Let's be honest here, okay? It's not like at predominantly white universities, they don't have the band play things when a touchdown is scored, right? It happens. Mm-hmm. All he's saying is, okay, there are a couple more times I want some certain things played because the players that are coming, this is what's going to get them hype. What's mm-hmm. wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Every school has a song that they play when they score or the teams come out the tunnel.
Exactly.
But they play it in the form of a predominantly white institution band. You can't all of a sudden say, hey, the way y'all been doing it, awesome. So you're trying to take them from the Charleston and the tango down to the stanky leg and crank that in 3 months.
Hey,
it's a different type of band setup, and you just can't easily pull that off and make it look good.
How do you know that the band? Because let's be real, the stanky leg and the crank that, as you just mentioned, are songs I'm sure these band people know.
Right.
They're familiar with them. They probably want to, you know, teach me how to Dougie in that Joker too, right? And they probably played it before the band director. No, tighten up. All right, back to the Charleston and the Tango, as you said. But he's not asking them to get out on the field and perform. He's asking them to play in the stands, the music. It's okay. They can do that.
Okay, but what makes an HBCU band hype? They just don't stand there in the band section.
Okay, yes.
And play the song, and there's no movement. There's no dancing. You have the dancers. He met not just with the band director, but also the person who leads the dance team or whatever. He's wanting the whole kind of vibe. And so if if Jackson State Band just stood up and performed, you know, insert whatever hip hop song, even if it was The Man Right Here, right? If they just performed that and didn't move,
dun, dun, dun.
It'd be okay. But there's a difference when you got a person with a tuba that's rocking.
Do, 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 do.
It's okay. A different type of vibe. And so that's what I'm saying. It's focus on the football part, have a DJ, and then maybe next year. That especially is. If you go in there and take them from 1-11 to, you know, 10-2 and a bowl game. Now you can say, okay, hey, here's phase two. Band, let me holler at you.
But that, look. You know what? If it's all part of it, this is part of fixing the team, getting it right. I got to make sure my players are ready. Hey, where's my theme music? All I need you to do is hit that. Go ahead. Hit it. Let's go. That's all he would say.
DJ. Just, DJ, because apparently he's going to have a different theme song. It's not going to be the mystical song. It's going to be a different one. Don't know what it is yet. But use a DJ. It'll play it right. It'll be done right every single time that you needed it.
Obviously, you haven't dealt with too many DJs, huh?
Well, better than a band. A band that's never played that kind of stuff before. And that's not their strength.
Okay, I hear you.
Well, but I disagree with the people who are upset talking about he's trying to bring the take away the HBCU culture and put it into a predominantly white school. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. At every predominantly white institution, you have, you know, black fraternities and sororities. Now, true. Black fraternities and sororities, they didn't quite start in HBCU cultures. Alpha Phi Alpha started at Cornell. It's not an HBCU. Your organization started where?
Indiana,
not an HBCU, right? But every white school, predominantly white school that has black and black Greek fraternity and sororities, they also have non-black Greek fraternity and sororities that mirror and copy a lot of the same things from the jackets, step shows, the strolling. That was not part of, you know, Theta Chi and all these other different white organizations. Now they can kind of do that stuff and it's kind of cool. He's not taking HBCU culture and putting in a predominantly white institution. He just wants to have a more fun, exciting band.
Yes.
That's going to hype the crowd and hype the players. I get
that. So you're
that,
on my side. Thank you. Culture. I got you. Thank you.
No, I'm saying that he shouldn't worry about that right now. Focus on football and get a DJ up there and then take the team to 10-2 and win a bowl game. Now you can try to talk about how to change the band, but that band's been banding that way for a long time.
Coach Prime, I'm right there with you. If those band members, you tell the band director, look, you need to go in here like I did. If you can't play these notes, there's the door. I got some studs coming in here. I got some dogs coming in here that can play these notes.
Yeah, yeah. And here's what's going to happen. A lot of those wealthy white alumni are going to be like, hey, let me stop you right there, Dion.
Hey, Coach Sanders, yeah. Coach Prime.
Yeah, Coach Prime. See, all those millions you got, me personally, 20% of that came from me. 20% came from this person. This part came from the school. So let me tell you what you're not going to do right now.
You keep them hippity hop inside the locker room on the field and stay away from our band.
Yeah, you win us some games and then maybe we can talk next year about changing the band. But for right now, you need to stay off of that.
Coach Prime, go ahead, man. Do it. Do what you do because you're rebuilding the culture there. Let's go. Make
worst
it happen.
Worst they can say is no. Doesn't hurt to ask. Worst they can say is no.
Facts. Just like some of these franchise McDonald's franchise owners, as we get to this bullshit. And you know, when I first saw the story, I knew immediately that as soon as it crossed your phone, your timeline, that you're going to be like, you know what? You're damn right. Cardi B offset their meal that was up for Valentine's, and of course, carrying on past that. Apparently, some of these McDonald's franchise owners are like, yeah, about that.
I agree with them about that. Hey, you know I'm not a Cardi B fan. Now, let me say this. McDonald's does a lot for the black community. And it's a great job opportunity. There's a lot of growth. Remember the Calvin commercials?
Yeah, you could go
where he
fries.
Started out on fries and became a manager. But that is so true. And they do a lot for black people. So I get maybe they go after Cardi B and Offset figuring that, hey, our base. Let's go after this and market this. And their meal is stupid. It's a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke for Cardi B. And Offset, it's a quarter pound of cheese, fries, and a high C orange. Because, of course, that's what we drink. And so...
It's what they like. What do you mean?
Hold on. Before you get with your selective outrage, let me just finish. So... My issue is not the meal, but with those franchise owners, their point was not the meal. Their point was Cardi B, her music, things that she said and done, same as Offset. That doesn't represent the brand. It doesn't represent the Golden Arches, who we are as our values. And I think they have a right to challenge that. You know, and of course, they don't have to do it in some cases. You know, apparently that you see that line that you talked about earlier.
At participating locations.
Right. So they might not participate in it, but their concern is, hey, this is the brand. I don't want to be a part of that or have these people be a part of what makes our brand. So I agree with them.
Okay. Here's where I have an issue with it. Why is this a story? Because the reason at participating locations is in... You've seen it every time. You've ignored this line every single time you've seen these promotions on TV for especially mostly fast food places. But it always says at participating locations, right? And you're very hard pressed to come across a location that's not participating sometimes because they all want part of that traffic, right? That these promotions provide. But why is this a story now that that there are a couple franchise owners who don't want to participate in this? I mean, it's like you try to make a name off of them because you don't want to do this. If you don't want to do it, just don't do it. Why do we have to hear that you don't want to do it?
Well, it's obvious why. It's Cardi B and Offset. If it was Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, probably wouldn't have been a big deal. But it's Cardi B and Offset, and it's quite a few franchise owners. And you think about participating locations, okay. Detroit, Atlanta, Houston, they participated. But
you're assuming.
Maybe Farmington, Missouri. Maybe not.
Salt Lake City.
You know, Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe they didn't have the Cardi B Offset adult family meal that you can get. There's certain cities that just might not have wanted to participate in that because of their geography and the size of their community and the type of people that live in that community.
This is where I need the selective outrage from those young white teens in these neighborhoods and cities that you just mentioned that may potentially have been one of the non-participating locations. I need you to rise up and say, you want that high C. You want that quarter pound of a cheese and fries. You want that Cardi B and Offset meal.
Well, here's the difference, though, is you still get the meal. The participating locations, the meal comes in a certain type of packaging.
Yes.
So there's that. And then I think it's a combo. It's like maybe, you know, $20 or so. Mm-hmm. But if you're at a non-participating location, you can still go in there and say, I want a cheeseburger, fries, and Coke. And I also want a quarter pounder with cheese.
I ain't got time to order all that.
And orange high C. And I need a side of barbecue sauce.
Look,
you're ordering this. So it's not like they can't get a quarter pounder with cheese in the non-participating locations. They can get the same meal. It's just not going to come out packaged or even marketed as the Cardi B Offset Valentine's adult meal.
I am a teenager in 2023. Do you really think I have time to order everything that's listed there? No. Just give me the Cardi B and Offset meal. Let me get that, please. Thank you.
But I think you're a teenager in 2023. You don't give a shit. You're just like, give me fries, cheeseburger, fries, and Coke. Quarter pound with cheese, fries, and a high C orange, and a side of barbecue sauce then. Since y'all don't have the Cardi B meal, give me that. It's the same meal.
Give me the meal that one of my favorite rappers and her husband, or one of my favorite rappers and his wife, eat. That's what I want. As a teenager in 2023, that's what I want to order. I don't want to order everything off it.
And they might say, we don't have that here. Okay, well, instead, give me a cheeseburger, fries, and Coke, quarter pound with cheese, fries, and a high C orange, and a side of barbecue sauce.
You're like, okay, coming right up. But isn't that the Cardi B and Offset meal?
It is.
Then that's where I want that selective outrage to come out. Like, no. I watch TV. I've seen this commercial, you know.
But there's no selective outrage needed. You're still getting the exact same thing. It's just not branded the same. So even the non-participating locations, mm-hmm. they're participating, you know, but maybe they jacked up their price on the quarter pounder with cheese combo and a cheeseburger combo. It's an extra dollar now.
They added the black tax. They did what the white clubs do when they have a black night. All right, so the Ciroc is $12 tonight. Usually it's $5, but tonight it's $12.
Yeah, tonight we're jacking that up. We're gonna make and they will pay for it. You know, trust me.
You can tell the spots that where they're like, yeah, we know what clientele we want. Do you have any Hennessy? Nope, we don't have that. You have any Crown Royal? Nope. Ciroc? Nope. Mm-mm-mm. We don't have that either. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
No Cabassier. And no Cardi B and Offset meal.
No
either.
Cardi B and Offset meals. Sorry, we don't serve that here.
You have to go
down a few miles down the street, take a left on MLK. That McDonald's, they have it.
They got. They might even have your Hennessy too. Selective outrage now. We got selective menus.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Don't forget, we're back Wednesday with, of course, Married at First Sight recap. That's going to be at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. I am traveling that day, so as long as the flights are on time, it'll be at that time, okay? If not, we probably have to just do it on Thursday. Friday, we're back with Ready to Love, Terrell's favorite show. He loves it.
No. far from it. I love making fun of it, but it's terrible. Okay. Oprah, you should do better.
It's not Oprah's fault.
It is Oprah's fault. Her name is on it.
Oprah don't even know what's on that channel.
Yeah, she does. She even spoke on the 100 episode special they mm-hmm. did, and she just talked about when they came to me with this idea. I thought it was this, and I'm watching. I'm like, so Oprah, you were involved in this, and
she was reading
still
the script.
Thumbs up.
She was reading the script. She didn't even know. Doesn't matter. She's never watched the show.
You build schools. You can build better. You can build better reality show if you wanted to.
I just want to point out, you watched that 100th episode special. You watched
no,
it.
I didn't. I watched the end of it because to go on to when I was trying to sit in to watch the new episode, they were showing the end of the 100th episode, and that's when I saw Oprah.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, let me see what Oprah has to say about this. And I was like, oh, okay, so you were really involved in this in the beginning, and look at this, and you're still good?
What do you think she was going to say? Now, this is bullshit. I don't know how it got up on my network. What do you think she's going to say?
She should. She can do better. She can do better. Remember when she had the Oprah show? How she treated rappers and all that stuff?
Yeah.
But now in this reality show, she's like, yeah, anybody. I don't care. Hop on in there.
Well,
how many kids you got? Three? By three different moms? You'd be great on TV.
To be fair, it was probably a very different show season one.
I won't know. You know? I won't know what the first one was like. Not at all.
You sure?
And I won't know what the one after this season's going to be like either. This is it.
Are you sure?
Positive. 100%. Prayer warriors can pray all they want.
They're trying to
it's
unite.
It's not
going to
happen. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Jesus could come into my room and sit in my bed and be like, so Terrell, me and a lot of the people who watch your podcast have been talking.
They've all come to me. And so I'm here as a representative.
Yeah. They keep blowing me up. I just figured I'd just come straight to you. Let's talk this out. What can we do to get you to watch Ready to Love? And I'd be like, nothing at all.
The question everybody wants to ask right now. When Jesus walked in your room, what color was he?
Well, my Jesus is... I don't see color. I just saw a light. It was just a light. I didn't know. Didn't see race. Didn't see gender. I want to make sure I don't offend anybody. I didn't see any of those. There was no pronouns. It was just a light. And we just had a chat. The voice would fluctuate. Sometimes it was a deep, manly voice. Sometimes it was feminine voice. It just fluctuated. So there was not a specifics to what it was like. If that light came into my room and wanted to encourage me to watch Ready to Love, I'd be like, nope. In fact, I'll tell him, look, Jesus, I appreciate you coming down to talk to me. And I want to apologize because I think I understand how you felt when you were nailed up to that cross. That's how I feel every Friday, is that they're just putting nails in me. Oh, and I said the same thing you said. Why hast thou forsaken me?
Oh, boy. Lightning's going to strike this podcast. Jesus. I call on you to strike this side of the podcast. We safe over here.
He made me do it. He made me do it.
You can't even point right. Yeah. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet, and we'll talk about it on the regular show.
Oh, Jesus. Remember that. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.